When it comes to men, especially in Dubai, you find a few that are like top tier individuals. This is like the epitome of men. Money, good looks, and so on. So
the Bugattis, the cars. Yeah, okay.
So men, women, especially in their 20s, find it okay to share these men.
I know women will pay for the first date sometimes these days, but a lot of people still actually really want somebody to do it for them.
And as soon as you start using dating apps with no notifications on, you're going to delete that app, for sure. Because if you don't feel
that... Are you speaking from experience?
Yes.
This is a safe space.
No worries.
Are you ready?
Welcome back, everyone, to a new episode of Red Flags, Green Flags, Modern Psychology for Everyday Drama. In this series, we are talking about modern dating and the hardships and uncertainties many people experience in the dating world, especially when it comes to online dating, finding a long-term partner, or dealing with toxic behaviors. Now, the aim of this series is to help listeners better understand what people are actually experiencing, thinking, and also believing. Not to judge what is wrong or what is right, but more to gain perspectives to our modern dating world. And by using a psychological and scientific lens to interpret these experiences, we can gain better insights on how to best navigate a rapidly changing world in which love and relationships can mean so many different things to different people. One of the perspectives we will be capturing in today's podcast is from my fellow penises. Men's perspectives in dating are often overlooked, brushed away, or even ridiculed, especially on social media. Men are often portrayed as the rotten apples in the dating equation, and when men do speak up or share their opinion or even their emotions, wrongly or rightly so, are often being told that they are insensitive, mansplaining, and not even man enough. It is not a surprise that public figures like Jordan Peterson and Andrew Tate have a huge following, as they provide men with a safe space to feel heard and understood, even when certain ideas or rhetoric are often out of the normal. Today, we won't be speaking about controversies or the battles of the sexes, but opening up a space where my guests can speak candidly about their experiences and give their opinions about today's modern dating world without being judged. Joining me on my podcast today is Warwick Stone from South Africa, a commercial director in the aviation industry, and Talal Ratrout from Jordan, sales manager in the engineering space here in Dubai. Gents, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Great. Pleasure to have you all here. I think maybe let's get started with a brief introduction. And maybe you can tell the audience and myself also a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Do you want to start, Talal?
No, go ahead, please.
Yeah, so thanks, Ali. As you mentioned, Warwick Stone, originally from South Africa. Been in Dubai about 4 or 5 years now. Always been in the aerospace industry. Used to fly back in South Africa, moved more into the commercial side of it. And, you know, not really sure what else the audience really wants to hear, but do a lot of running, do a lot of eating out, seeing friends, things like that. Just to like to enjoy my life, I think.
Thank you. Talal Ratrout, a man, apparently. As we mentioned, I'm an electrical engineer. I manage sales for the Middle East, mainly I'm focused on the Middle East. I started my career in Jordan. I ended up in Dubai. I love it. It's been busy for a while. I'm pursuing my higher education. But so far it's been great. It's just hella busy. So that's what I've been doing so far.
Excellent. Hey, and maybe just a follow-up question then. What was the reason why you changed country to come and work here in Dubai?
Well, for me, I was offered a job, which was a primary motivator. On top of that, South Africa's got an interesting political and criminal situation. So it was a nice move in terms of career development and then just quality of life. Nice strong currency here. The dirham's basically a dollar, so makes international travel and all the other fun things more affordable in life.
And what about you, Talal?
Yeah, so I started my career in a multinational company which had offices in Jordan, and then I made the switch that everyone wants. I came to the hub to Dubai, And then I was grabbed by competition. So it's just a lot of opportunities, definitely. For
excellent.
The opportunities.
Yeah, Dubai is great for that, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so how long have you been here in Dubai so far?
Just about 5 years.
5 years, yeah.
Yeah, I came just before the pandemic, the lockdown. Yeah, so 2020 March.
Okay, excellent. Super. So, hey, look, you spent a couple of years so far in Dubai. You kind of know how it works. You know the differences with how things are versus home, as you were just saying, also Warwick. And you as well, Talal. So let me ask you this interesting question. How would you, because we're talking about dating today, how would you describe Dubai's dating scene? And how would you compare it to the dating scene back home?
Different. If I had to say one word, different.
I would call it disgusting, honestly. What is dating? Yeah. Like, I've been single for too long. It's reached that stage.
It's interesting because often we hear women a lot, you know, a lot of my women followers, they always complain like, oh, I can't find any. But we men also have the same problem.
Though. Yeah.
I would say yes.
Yeah.
I would argue that women find it easier to get into relationships. And I've seen recently, like women my age, especially Gen Zs and people in their 20s, are actually in multiple relationships because they actually share the same man.
How does that work?
Yeah, so for example, you know, everyone stereotypes, everyone grades people. Yeah. Yeah. We do it, you're the expert. But when it comes to men, especially in Dubai, you find a few that are like top tier individuals. This is like the epitome of men. Money, good looks, and so on. So
the Bugattis, the cars.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So men, women, especially in their 20s, find it okay to share these men, and I find it quite absurd. So yeah, I would argue that.
But that's more of a Dubai thing. You were saying then.
Yes. Yes.
Warwick, what do you think about that?
I would agree to some extent. I think there's both extremes here, both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah.
To Talal's point, definitely there are. I think because a lot of people come here in a transient sort of mindset, for them, they just want to have a good time. And if somebody can help provide that through experiences or you know, lifestyle and the sacrifices, you might not be faithful. I think some people cling to that or enjoy that and then move on very happily and find whoever they want back home. And then there's the other end of the spectrum where there's a few people that are definitely committed to true love and just don't seem to find it.
In Dubai.
I mean, I supposedly it happens. I've seen some people get married, but I think that's the rare
exception.
Yeah.
Okay. Know. Interesting. Do you share the same idea about that?
I do agree that Dubai does feel like you're in transition.
Yeah.
But not really. Like most people spend most of their lives here.
Yeah. And that's what it's becoming now more.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And now with the whole government trying to get more people here, it's a nice place to live.
Yeah,
it's like it's a place where you can stay your whole life.
Can you tell the dating mindset?
But
that's what we need to discover,
but,
right?
But he mentioned something interesting. He said the word providing.
Right.
And I think it's for us men, it's all about that. We are seen as providers, either of love, money, social status, and I feel that creates a lot of pressure, especially who's coming to Dubai. Aspiring a career, trying to build themselves.
Right.
And then you have that pressure of always providing.
Interesting.
And it goes into, it's different in every stage of your life. You start thinking about providing differently.
Yeah.
And then once you reach, like you go older and older and as your career progresses, providing becomes something different. Either it's love for your children as well, who knows.
And just maybe to jump on that, because first you were saying kind of like, indirectly, you were saying, whoa, I'm in Dubai now and I have to compete against these uber elite alpha males who've got the bling bling and, you know, and at the same time you feel also you have to provide.
Exactly.
Has that, both perspectives, has that in any way held you back from dating or going out or feeling less secure about yourself?
I think for me, like I'm 28 and what I'm really focused on right now is my career.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of time, especially in Dubai. It can like envelops you. It takes your whole life.
Right.
And rightfully so. Like, I don't mind doing that. But if I'm going to spend some time with someone and give them some of my time that I could be potentially progressing my career, studying, doing something, doing activities, you have the idea of them looking at you as someone who's a tool. or like a way for them to get where they want, really, really makes you question their values. And that's something that really is important for me to look for in a partner.
Okay. So what you're saying is you're fearful more of the fact that maybe love is more transactional.
Yeah.
Here and this, and especially in this environment, because it's more conducive, as you said. And back to your point as well, Warwick, where you're saying people here, it's more transient. So people know that they're only coming here to make money or to work, and then probably they'll leave. And so therefore, maybe our mindsets around love and building relationships is not much more about building deeper connections, more about the transactional aspect.
Yeah, I'd say it's quite non-committal, and you can look at it from my personal experiences back in South Africa. If you were kind of chatting to a girl, you were chatting to that girl. Here, people are chatting and casually dating. I wouldn't say anything serious, but going on a number of dates with 2, 3, 4 people. And maybe the expectation is it's an extended sort of interview process, or it's nice to keep it casual. It depends on, I guess, each set of people. But more often, I would say both parties, men and women, are entertaining like 2 or 3 or 4 people on a very casual sort of seeing each other, dinners, breakfasts, whatever it might be, where before you had one person and that
right.
was it.
Right.
So, and does that come to the transactionality and the non-committalness of the feeling of Dubai?
Yeah.
I guess it could.
Do you think then, I'd love to hear from both of your perspectives, but do you think that's a Dubai specific thing, or is that more just a general thing of today's zeitgeist and what modern dating is today, especially with dating apps and, you know, having so much access to so many people at the flick of your finger? Has that become a cause of, what are your perspectives on this?
I think it's, you have more opportunity to meet people through apps and things like that. And B, I think it comes very much down to, and you brought it up a little bit earlier, Tal, what your morals are, what your background is. I think in sort of more Western aligned cultures, it is just, there's less, you know, marriages coming later in life. Yeah. There's less sort of traditional family values and people leaving the house earlier, things like that. And I think that plays a role. Plus then the fact that Dubai is what it is, and you've got all these, I mean, how many apps, if you really went and said dating app now, you could probably download them.
Yeah.
So you have all this choice and if you really want to make use of it,
yeah,
you can.
Yeah.
No, I think definitely Dubai intensifies that because of how it's set up. But when it comes to dating apps, for me, it's like Pokemon Go for humans, truly.
It's pretty accurate.
No,
just don't throw something.
Exactly.
Right, right.
It's
yeah.
about catching.
Got to catch them all.
Exactly.
Just the woman, right?
No, even if you're there, even yeah. if you like, yeah. you've mysteriously ended yeah. up there, I've found people don't actually talk. They just collect each other. Oh, she liked me.
Ah.
And I've found friends yeah. of mine actually compare. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Oh, let me go to that area. I haven't seen her.
Wow.
It's actually like Pokemon Go.
Wow, I never thought about it that way. You know, it's psychologically, I can give an explanation to this, because sometimes people really don't really want to date for the purpose of dating. It's more kind of like self-validation.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, oh, look, I got a swipe. No, I don't swipe, but I got a match. And oh, that person wants to date me. And now because of you getting that feeling of validation, that's all you wanted. And then eventually you just don't go on the date.
Yeah, so then eventually,
yeah, it's chasing the high.
It's definitely addictive. Yeah. And as soon as you start using dating apps with no notifications on, you're going to delete that app for sure. Because if you don't feel
Are you speaking from experience?
Yes.
This is a safe space.
No worries. Let's talk about it.
So for example, for me, I tried it. I don't do this often, but you know, I'm quite curious.
Yeah.
So I've tried dating apps. Never worked. I put them with no notifications on.
Right.
It doesn't give you the nudges
right.
we
the
talk
dopamine
about.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and then you end up looking at people and they're just like vague faces of someone who resembles a human.
Yeah.
It's just like people trying to look their best, but it's just like, it's like empty. Like you don't connect.
Right.
And even when you end up going out with them, people are so socially inept, they cannot even have a proper conversation anymore. So people are just like, are not humans right. anymore. We're like, yes, we are social beings. We want to be part of a right. society and right. so on. But we don't know how to interact anymore, especially with new generations coming in. It's more of a, I'm not sure if it's the right word, the symbiosis with the machine.
Yeah.
But we lack a lot of skills that we used to yeah. have before.
And maybe that, you know, I do think that technology plays a role in that, right?
Yeah.
Definitely in the way how technology is being designed, it's very persuasive. It's very much to kind of keep us addicted and hooked, but not thinking about the long-term consequences of what that does to our brain. If we're continuously bombarding that kind of short-term, you know, quick gratification, instant gratification thing, then we lose our capacity over time to be more reflective and to you know, to think more deeper about ourselves. But also, like you said, like if you don't like someone, what do you do nowadays? Instead of, you know, in the good old days, you'd go up to someone and say, let's try and resolve our issues. Yeah, yeah. But now it's like, too difficult. Next, you know, exactly. I've got someone else over here. And then you just, and you just kind of switch from left to right. Whereas in the past, you couldn't do that. You didn't have that many mating options, let's call it like that, right? And so therefore, it's changed a lot in our behaviors. Yeah.
So I actually have quite a funny story related to this topic. So I'm, you know, we've all been there, been on Tinder, matched with somebody, chatted a little bit, no real spark. And then we actually met in real life, unbeknownst that we'd matched, met in real life and got along really, really well, became really good friends. But through the app, it was just like, this person's absolutely boring and there's nothing here. And we're actually fantastic friends now and we have really good times and, you know, do all sorts of fun things. Well, and
let's be honest, actually, you know, when you go to a new country, Tinder is a great way to meet new people. And I've heard, you know, when I speak to a lot of people, both men and women about this, they say, well, we get onto Tinder actually because, you know, it's nice if we meet someone, but we know we're not really going to meet anyone solid. So might as well make friends. And now kind of, you know, Instagram and Facebook and other apps.
Yeah, now that's why you have Bumble and such apps, Hinge and so on. They have like the same concept, but like a bit different.
Slightly different. Yeah. Hey, so I have some, I want to go to, great conversation, by the way. I want to go to some of the questions from my followers and really kind of relates to what you're saying here. The first one is from Marin Dania, and she asks, why don't men flirt that often anymore in bars and clubs?
I think that's a lot to do with sort of social media shaming of people. That, you know, back in the day, the worst thing that could happen was she would say no.
Yeah.
And that was fine. Your friends would laugh and it would be a joke and stuff. But I think now it's, you know, well, oh, why is that creep coming up to me and stuff? and you're a creep or not based on how good you look to the girl, right? So nowadays, I think people are a lot more vocal and there's a lot more risk, inherent risk for the guy to approach a woman. So I wouldn't say it's finished because now that's the rarity. So if you have the confidence to approach somebody, I think you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
But there's that inherent risk that it could be more than a no. It could be, well, this guy's a creep. And I think that causes a lot of fear or angst somebody. Back. Yeah.
Yeah. Antela, what do you think?
No, I completely agree with Warwick, but I think it should be really studied how women want to be approached, but when they do, they reject it so badly. Like, they love the idea of being wanted, being chased after. Maybe that's applicable only as well for men. But I see it more in women, where you have to chase and you have to do it properly. But once you reach that equilibrium status, there is like that invisible hand that pushes you out and you're completely rejected.
So
they love to be chased. Chase and you'll be rejected.
Yeah.
So that's the duality of women in that case. It's just like,
well, maybe, I maybe also think it's the duality of today's changing gender norms as well. And also the duality of not knowing what to do anymore. Whereas maybe 20 years ago, you know, I still think chivalry, we should be chivalrous.
Yes.
You know,
it's just good manners.
It's good manners, right? But then again, it's like, should I or should I not? And I think because we're in this space of transition, that we're, you know, losing our ways of, if I do this, I might be seen as too aggressive, or, you know, I might be seen as not taking the right approach. But then again, at the other side, we're also kind of unclear, like you're saying, well, I would love to be chased, but maybe I shouldn't. Or, you know, so it's becoming very unclear. And to your point as well about social media apps, maybe we've lost our ability to you know, because now if someone doesn't like us, swipe right, swipe left.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I know I'm 46. So when I went out, I would go out, you know, and I'd go out to a bar and I'd try and pick up someone and I would get rejected and go like, damn it. But what can I do better next time? You don't need to do that online. Right. And so we also are losing away our abilities, besides also not knowing how to approach each other, because you don't know, like to your point, Warwick, we don't know how we're going to be perceived in that perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess what we could do is say, hey guys, why don't the women approach men for the next 3 months and see how they like it?
Yeah.
But I think the guys are the problem, because we just be like, oh, someone's approaching me. Yes, perfect. Let's go.
I've seen that happen. You know, a few of my friends, as soon as they get approached, man, I got attention. She loves me. it's crazy. Men are just so deprived of attention and love. We just want to be hugged.
That's a valid point. No. Look, you touched upon a very valid point, because, you know, often the stereotype of a man is, you know, like you said before, it's the provider, it's the protector. Yeah. But, you know, it comes to the point also that men want to be loved. We want to be loved. We want to be vulnerable. We want attention. And so, but sometimes, you know, that we're not getting that enough because, you know, our day-to-day work and a lot of demands, social expectations, family expectations, you know, and then we don't really always get to the opportunity to really show up and say what we really want, what our actual needs are. And then, you know, you're the provider, so you don't need it. You're fine.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're saying, right? That's the challenge that you...
And I think what's truly unfortunate, and I don't think this will ever happen, especially in my part of the world, where you can never be weak. As soon as the partner or the other sees you as someone who's vulnerable, who's weak, who cannot provide, who has emotions, you lose some of the respect. I've heard of relationships break up because of man was having money issues and the woman supported, and she lost some of that respect to him. So imagine how that plays a role in your head, that you almost must deliver and be that. And you can never be weak. You can never be vulnerable with someone. Right. I want to, but I don't think I can. That's the problem. If I ever want to have a relationship where I assume the traditional roles of a man, a provider, a father, I need to be that. I need to be that persona. Even if I seek some sort of an intimate relationship, I have to move on. Like, it doesn't work this way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that, Tella. What about your perspective on that? Because clearly there's a cultural perspective here at play, right?
Yeah, I would say, you know, you touched on it briefly. There's the sort of changing in terms of gender roles, or what's normal for a gender role. Right. And I think there is still even... A strong woman wants a strong man. I mean, you know, you still want somebody that can protect if there's a situation that arises. You know, I know women will pay for the first date sometimes these days, but a lot of people still actually really want somebody to do it for them and open a door.
There's a lot of debate about that still.
Exactly.
And that's coming back to kind of like who takes the first, who makes that first move, right?
Yeah. So I think as much as we're progressing, we still have all that traditionality embedded in us, and I think it's few and far between that will actively try and not accept chivalry, basically. Right. So I agree, when you're weak, you're the lesser, it's much easier to move on. I think that's a big risk for men, and that's why, you know, we just have to be stoic, take it, just generally take it. And that's why that positive affirmation is so great for the guy. Yeah. It's like, oh, she came up to me. Must be looking good today.
Right. And it's really interesting because, you know, I have had so many conversations around this. And then often women think, oh, you know, I just need to be nice to him. And not just nice, but, you know, you have a certain idea about how you should approach your partner, your male partner in this case. But in the end, maybe what you're actually really looking for is more, I want to be vulnerable with you. I want to feel that positive affirmation because I'm dealing with so much stress. And that's an interesting topic because I think it was a question that I had later on, but I can ask it now because I feel it relates to this so well. How do you think that there's a big difference between how men fall in love versus how women fall in love?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think so. I think... through the relationship journey, I think men value different things to what women value. And because of that, different, very inconsequential things to, say, a woman mean a lot to a man, which then creates an attachment, creates a bond, creates sort of that, oh, I think I want to spend my life with this woman or whatever it might be. Where I think, especially these days and maybe more in a Western society, that there's sort of, you know, how many women talk about their list. He ticks all the boxes on my list. For a guy, it's like, well, she looks good. She's nice to me. She understands when I'm tired. And well, that, you know.
Yeah.
I may disagree there. Yeah,
please do.
Let's hear it.
No, that's the thing. Like, I feel like a man, once he sees a woman or their partner, as soon as they see them, they know. Because, you know, there's something that's like marriage material, or that maybe that's my intention when it comes to dating.
Yeah.
You know.
Are you, so is that an interesting? I mean, this is a side note, but do you always date for marriage material?
For sure. Yeah. So that's what I look for. Like, are you marriage material? Yeah. Do I think that I can?
Yeah.
Then I will.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to women, I think like as they go on, they check boxes. For me, it's like a list. You fill it up. Okay, you're okay. You're good to go to the next stage. But I feel like women, it's like a journey that you progress with. They like falling in love with you with time. I feel like men are just more too direct, and they have a certain let's say a climax of emotions at the start, and then with time you just have to keep it up.
They just spontaneously fall in love, kind of thing. They see, they know, and they
You know, like it's quite silly, but like you can so affection happens.
I have a question for that. So then, if you say you have that feeling, is there something that could then take that feeling away?
For sure, for sure. So it's like for men, it's there and you take some of it away. For women, I feel like it's like grows and it progresses. That's why I feel like women, once they love you and they tell you they love you, it means that like you've passed through so many stages,
right?
And you have now acquired that status.
Background checks done.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting because then you're saying actually what men do is they fall in love faster.
Yeah.
Or easier, maybe that's the right way of saying. But then they're also easier to let go or disqualify.
I feel like for me, it could be one thing that you've done.
Yeah.
That just, if I lose respect to someone, towards someone, that's it. They're out.
Give me an example of that. What would that be like?
I'll try not to be stereotypical, or because I come from a conservative family.
Yeah.
And I'm more of the open-minded side of my family.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things that will make me lose respect for you. I don't want to. That's
just pretend this is a toilet, men's toilet. We're sitting together.
No, there are things that.
But you can say it more general. Like, what's that thing that would make you lose respect?
Yeah, like we're talking about the red flags, icks, as they call them now.
Yeah.
But there are stuff like that really put you off. That's it.
Like, give me an example. What would put you off?
For example, as soon as someone talks about their exes, they're out. That's it.
Wow.
That's it.
That's that easy?
I don't want to know. Because, I don't know, and I feel like my friends who are from the same culture share that opinion, is that once we meet you, like we have such a high idea of you. And just by not talking about something that happened earlier.
You won't break it down.
Yeah, that's it. Just be who you are.
Yeah.
Because I already love you. You already have that.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what you've been through. I don't want to be compared. I don't want to be constantly thinking about that person who once had
what might have been better, or
exactly,
yeah, yeah.
So maybe it's childish and immature, but that's how it is. It's not something you can control. It's just a feeling.
So what I hear you saying is, and I think this comes back to what you said in the beginning, is like being compared to.
Yeah.
Overall, for you, especially for you, being made compared to someone better or whatnot.
It I'm puts competitive. You... I want to win.
Yeah.
But. The idea is this: it's not something you can win.
Yeah,
that's the idea. You cannot change a person's perception of someone.
I got it.
Yeah.
You want that person to really love you for who you are.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And I think everyone wants that. Yeah. No.
No, but it's interesting though, because if someone ticks you off, then you're done.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound very sustainable.
It's not like that. I'm done. It's just that she lost respect, and I mean, like it's like just she burst the bubble. It's all about that bubble, keeping the bubble there. It's not really sustainable, but when it comes to dating, it is what it is.
Right.
When we
right.
think about it, when it comes to marriage, no, it's more like if a serious thing that you build together. I think like most relationships fail not because of lack of love,
right,
but more of lack of friendship.
Right.
Someone who you truly enjoy your time with, and that doesn't come with dating for a few months. It's like. Like when you were with someone and
takes
the food
takes more time, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even the food tastes better.
Yeah.
the movies are funnier. Everything is, it is
just
like
amazing.
Yeah. What about, only in that, those yeah. moments.
Yeah. Yeah. And Warwick, how do you, what do you think about that?
I think in the principle, I guess I could agree with. I guess you could say, I think women, it's a whole process. It's like growing a plant.
Yeah.
I don't want to say with men, it's like a light switch on or off. But right. I think there's, if it's for me, if it's yeah. something fundamental against my like morals or my sort of values, then I'm sorry, it doesn't matter. It's fundamentally an issue, and yeah. we can't. I don't think we can overcome it.
Right.
Then it would be
no. This is much more deeper ingrained in the individual.
But if it's a couple yeah. of things, you know, as everyone's got their problems, nobody's perfect.
Right.
Like you say, you can discuss. Hey, I don't want to know about any exes and stuff like that. Right. That's another. Yeah. No,
but more to that is like you mentioned something really important. That's like something you fundamentally disagree with.
Yeah.
And for me, it's lying.
Yeah.
As soon as I figure out that you've lied to me.
Yeah,
I can never trust you again.
Right, right.
It's and it's all about trust, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think look, and again, also, it's you know, yesterday I had Simona here in the show, and we talked about, you know, how quickly we are to judge other people.
Yeah,
and we are right. We live in a world nowadays that we have multiple options. You know, we don't even think more reflectively anymore as we used to do in the past. Because of the nature of today's world. And so, you know, there's always this moment that we have to self-reflect, because when we really get upset about something, it's our trigger, right?
Yeah.
We need to reflect on what is that trigger. For you, it's lying, right? Yeah, I mean, you know, lying is a bad thing. And for you, it might be something completely different. But it's also about knowing what triggers you. Because the moment that you allow every time that trigger to, you know, get lit up, and then you just kind of like, okay, I'm done with this. It also at the same time doesn't give you that ability to kind of build more sustainability.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have, in any relationship, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have moments that are not going to be great. And you're going to have moments that are going to be fantastic. You're going to have moments that are going to feel very bored as well, right? That's a natural process. And I think one thing we can kind of reflect on is that, you know, it's all about challenge. Relationship is about challenge. But at the end of the road, the beauty of it is that you grow together and you develop together, and you know, you become more of a unit than an individual by itself. But I think what's making dating so hard today nowadays is what you were saying, very different perspectives, unsure about what's happening. But at the same time, we're also losing our capabilities and being able to deal with those frustrations. Guys, I really love this. And now I would love to kind of go more into what some of the followers have been asking some questions, and I'd love to get your perspective on it. So I have here one of my followers called Maya Horvat, and she says, or asks, do men just want sex with no commitments, or and is marriage or being with one person just for women and old ugly men? Interesting question. But yeah, what would you say about that?
I would say it depends on the guy, it depends on the girl. So some men, if it's on offer, aren't going to say no. And if you make yourself available to it and surround yourself with those kinds of people, you'll probably attract those kinds of people and just be used for, you know, certain things. I think in terms of marriage, yeah, a lot of guys still want to get married. A lot of guys still want to have kids. They still want to provide. That's intrinsic in men. I think the motivation or the incentive for men to get married goes less and less every year.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons, who wins in divorces, who gets custody of kids, who initiates divorces, loads of stats that support all of that. But, and are there that many women that want to get married? Because now it's so easy to get divorced. Used to be marriage for life, right? Now, how many divorces are there every year? So I think the incentive is less to get married. And so those are the two answers, I guess, for me on that. But yeah, people still want to get married, and I would still get married.
You still get married?
Yeah.
Tal? You said you're traditional, so I assume that you...
I want to get married.
Yeah.
But I also have some problematic views about having kids, and I think, genuinely, we're truly narcissistic, that we want to live forever, then that's why we have kids. it's about that. I think marriage creates that idea. It builds up towards a legacy. And this is what men look for. This is how I see it. You want to build your own empire. And marriage is like the start for that, right? Like, I want to have my own home with my own rules, with my own... I want to control.
Has that been traditionally instilled?
Of course.
Yeah.
Like my father, he's the king in his house. And I go to, like, I live by my own, right? And as soon as I step into Jordan, I follow my king, for sure. He's the father. He's the guy who you should respect.
Right.
And I value that. Like,
he's the house.
Yeah. These are the parts of our traditions that I really appreciate.
Yeah. And so you can't wait to be the next king.
It's been embedded in us. Like, yeah. I want to, if he's someone that you look up to, if your father or your mother is someone you look up to, you want that, right?
Interesting.
We all have so much differences with our parents.
Right.
Of course.
Just family stuff.
Family
stuff.
Yeah. But there are things that you genuinely respect about them.
Yeah.
And how they control, give you some space to feel safe.
Right.
And that's part of that. So I want to create a space where I'm safe.
Yeah.
And people who are connected to me are also safe.
So tell me a little bit more, but that's a very interesting perspective here, because that will also inform how you think about relationships and who you want to marry, potentially who you see as a long-term partner. So tell me some of the behaviors or some of the characteristics of someone that is the king of the house.
Yeah. Not to be so super stereotypical, but...
But what you believe, right?
Yeah. The ability to give time as well. Like, it's really important now with this age, and it really worries me. It scares the hell out of me that one day I'm going to be a father and I'm not going to give the appropriate amount of time to my kids or to my partner. I'm going to be absent. It really scares me. Mm. And I think that will pushes that idea away from you. Like, I just want to be alone. Then I don't have that pressure of failing as a father figure. So just the ability to be there for them, protect them, support them, give them the opportunities that you've never had.
Yeah.
That goes to your kids and also to your partner. What I truly look for in a partner is a partner. Yeah. I want someone who I can look up to, you know, like, I'm really proud of you. You're amazing. Yeah. I want that Amal Clooney of women.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to wake up in the morning and look at her and I'm like, man, I should be better. Just she makes me want to be a better version of myself.
Right.
And this is what I'm looking for. I know it's such a high standard, but let's raise the bar. I don't know. Like, why not?
You want what
why
you want. Not? You want what you want, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is what I want, and I'm quite clear about it.
Yeah.
And that's why I value trust, respect, not lying so much. And I see it really disrupts how I view you because of that. Because, like, this is what I want. Right. And we can grow there together.
Right.
And it's all about that, like, having that that mindset that I can grow, I can fix my mistakes. I want someone to wake up one day and she says, like, I want to be better at tennis.
Yeah.
Let's work out together.
Yeah.
Like, like someone who would you try and pursue to learn new things with.
Exactly. Someone who motivates you.
Exactly.
Don't you feel then maybe sometimes that because of these high expectations and expectations from your family and traditions and the environment that you live in, that you set the bar so high that it becomes almost impossible to...
It's overwhelming, truly. Like, and I've seen my friends having the bar going up, and I want to love, I want to fall passionately in love, and then they just sort of give up, which is perfectly okay.
Yeah.
And they go to their mothers, their sisters, to find
arranged prospects. Marriage, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is perfectly okay.
Actually,
for me.
I think that's coming, you know, because of how the dating world is nowadays. You see it in a lot of cultures, Indian culture as well, Arab culture,
because
it's so hard to find someone dedicated that actually wants, and both for men and women, both want. You know, often, like I said in social media, you know, men are often betrayed because, men have more short-term mating strategies. You look into the literature and you look into evolutionary psychology, that's the case. And women have much more long-term mating strategies. And because of the technology nowadays, short-term mating strategies are easy to facilitate. But still, you know, what I'm hearing is both men and women want to find love, but we're complicating things so much, right? And maybe one of this is the psychological perspective. Warwick, any, what's your opinion on that one?
Yeah, I think we're definitely overcomplicating it. I think we're letting too many external factors get in the way of just two people meeting and connecting, you know, because how many times are you actually just dating a girl? You're dating her friends. her friends are talking all sorts of their bad experiences in some of my experiences. How many of them are strong enough to say, you know, it's my relationship, it's my private business,
right?
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Oh, I really don't like him. He was rude to me. Or, and it's just the whole time you've got somebody in the ear talking about you. So it's not just you. And I guess you had that traditionally, but not as easy as it is today, because now you can just be getting a text all day, every day from your friends or whatever. So I think there's a lot getting in our way that potentially is doing us harm for no reason.
Right. So in one way, technology is helping us, but in another way, it's holding us back when it comes to real human connection.
Yeah.
Funny note, I remember seeing something on TikTok. It was about a couple of months ago, where they, you know, because they have all, you know, all these men that go to Thailand and they don't go and you go there for a holiday,
passport
right?
Passport bros or whatever they're called.
So, one of the things I thought was really funny, actually, and very cool, is that apparently there's this WhatsApp app in Thailand with 40,000 women in there. And every time they meet someone, they put the picture in the app as a validation. Like, do you know this person? Oh, yes, I dated this person. Oh, wait, I'm dating him right now. So it's, which I think is not bad, right? It's kind of a due diligence. But on a side note, but what you're saying is more like, you know, we're being more affected by what people tell us and what we hear and what we see. And again, that critical judgment, like, you know, wait a minute, let me just take a step back and let me think about this myself and let me have my own opinions. And we're being so much influenced by the external environment, not just friends, but social media.
Well, I mean, I can even relate it to sort of my business perspective. You know, previously, 50 years ago, whatever, there were, 1 to 3 people involved in the buying or the purchasing process. Now it's an average of 9.6 or something that need to sign off on a purchase or a large. I think it's the same in dating. I think all the friends have to kind of say that yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. And if one of them says no, then it's a whole consensus and a whole discussion. So maybe that's a logical way to think about it, but I think it's more analyzed than it used to be. Right. And there's technology has definitely facilitated that.
There's so much data. It's all about that. Like earlier, we didn't have that much information for you to make a judgment. Right. So you have to live through it.
Right.
Now you have so much data. Like within seconds, you can know so much about the person, their education, how much money they're making, who are their families.
And it's funny because like if you make your Instagram private and you don't have a lot of social media, oh, that's a red flag for a woman. But then if you have too much on your Instagram or whatever, then it's like, oh, we can find out everything about this guy. Looks like he dates a lot of girls or whatever it is. So it's such a hard balance to walk.
I've seen a lot of tweets that says, if you have more than 0 posts on Instagram, I will not date you.
There you go.
Wow.
Exactly.
So more than 0 posts.
Yeah. Then you're too involved, you're too self, whatever.
Well, and I think this is what you're saying, right? Because you're saying that we're being so informed what is the right thing to do. Now, there's standards. You need to have this. You need to have this job. And, you know, oh, you need to make sure you do this. You like too many people's girls' pictures on Instagram. You know, there are so many things now that you can evaluate and judge someone on that it's so easy to kind of say anything is a red flag nowadays.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying, right?
Pretty much what I was getting at.
Yeah, yeah.
And it depends on the person.
I didn't want to talk about this, but I don't know. You nudged me into it. let's say it's not about me, but someone...
You're talking about a friend, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about my friend.
Okay.
So my friend once liked someone, so they had a crush on them. So they had they talked to their friend, the friend of the girl, and she helped by showing him a list of X red flags. And it's 79 plus red flags that you shouldn't do, otherwise you're out. One of them says, breathes.
Say what?
Breathes.
Just breathe.
Just breathe.
That's it. Oh. It's a red flag.
I think then that whole girl for me is a red flag, right? Like, take those 80 red flags.
And then look at it that way. It can also be self-filtering out, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if someone is going to judge you on that basis already, that's a problem. Look, and what's interesting that you say that, because the book that I'm writing is called Red Flags, Green Flags. But what I dive into the book is exactly that. You know, again, we're so quickly to judge something as a red flag. But maybe when we judge something as a red flag, maybe I am the red flag because I see it that way. And so that's why I also, and this is one of the reasons why I thought this book was going to be very much necessary, because we need to critically think better. We need to think more deeply about why things happen and when is it truly a red flag and when is it something like, when is it a deal breaker or when is it something of more of a conversation starter?
Yeah.
And not just kind of, oh, I see this red flag, let me run away. No, let me just look at what else I can see. And is there a pattern of behavior that I dislike or not? And is that something that I can talk about? Because it's not only about dating, also in relationships nowadays, you know, people are together and if they see a red flag, they might run. That's, you know, I think you want to, you invest a lot of time with people because you want to get to know them better. So it's to your point, how do we, maybe that's a nice discussion in itself. How do we deal with red flags in those kind of situations where you as the guy are being evaluated, knowing that there's a checklist that, you know, that people are evaluating you on?
So I think for me, an important thing, or at least fundamentally in terms of my beliefs and stuff, is I'll be consistently the same person. And if, you know, obviously you can have a discussion with somebody if they don't like behavior that you have, you can have a discussion around it and something you're worth changing or modifying. And it's within the bounds of what you're okay with. Yeah, cool. You can, you know, speak a little bit softer at dinner or whatever. It's something small, something silly. But if it's something fundamental, you're not going to change it. And, you know, you don't want to change to be somebody's perfect person. So for me, just be honest, be consistent. Whatever comes up, you deal with it, you don't, and you move on.
But don't you agree that you also need to change yourself at times? Because
100%.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As long as it's not a fundamental, foundational moral belief, if it's just something I do that's irritating.
Or misbehavior. Or,
Yeah, something that's actually considered a decent behavior or whatever. So like if I open a door for her and she's like, that's a red flag for me. Well, I'm sorry, then we're not going to date because that's just who I am as a person, right? Like I'm going to open a door. I was chivalrous. But if it's something like, hey, do you mind, you know, something silly, I don't know, like, do you mind, like I said, speaking softly at dinner or whatever? I don't know what it could be. Yeah, cool. I can take a look at that and I can say, okay, that's an easy thing for me to change and I think I should.
Tal?
It's quite interesting. Yeah, we talked about checklists, but trying to, it's like a job interview, but it doesn't stop. And we all lie on our CVs, you know?
25% of the time.
Exactly.
Well, no, we don't call it lying. We call it creative writing.
Content. Some might say embellishing.
It's a fact. You want to look better. You want to view yourself better.
We always want to show our best selves, right, when we meet people.
I want to show that, like, it's not necessarily who I am right now, but I can be this. Yeah. I know I can. So we're constantly being interviewed our whole lives.
Yeah.
It's either being a job, with customers when it comes to sales, with women. And a lot of living like that is about trying to not to do the red flag, not to be the ick.
Yeah.
For me, people have called me a bit stubborn, so I try to work on that. That's something that's constructive
normal
feedback, right?
Yeah. That's
but if it's like something that fundamentally changes who I am as a person, don't say such things, or why are you talking to that person? Stop being friends with that person.
Yeah.
That's
a red flag maybe on their side. Yeah?
Exactly.
But again, and I think if, and this is great that you're mentioning this, because look, when we think about relationships, especially when we think about dating, we always look at, we want to look at the best side. We put our best side foot forward and we want to be the best. We see it from the other person. But we also forget that when we fall in love or we date someone and we know that that might become something more long-term, that we also should not only fall in love, and this is how I like to kind of frame it, not with just the great things about the other person, but also fall in love with their developmental spaces.
Yeah.
Because people bring insecurities into the relationship. People bring uncertainties, or they bring behaviors that have not, you know, have come from trauma or have come from past experiences or bad relationships. And it's your compassion and your willingness to work with the other person to help them out of that. Equally so, we're no one's perfect. We all have our faults, right? And so those faults naturally come up more when we're vulnerable and when we're with someone, because then we take the mask off. And so, and that's where I think those red flags should not only be a kind of warning sign to walk away, but more of a, maybe a potential green flag to say, I see something inside of you that I want to help you with because I care about you. And being able to address it that way can maybe change the way, you know, we think about challenge. And I think maybe that's a way we can deal with these issues that we're facing with technology nowadays. But that's the family unit and the relationship bond is a way for us to grow together, right? And so,
no, I completely understand where you're going with this, but what we should be careful of is that I can fix him, I can fix her,
right?
It makes us let go of a lot of things,
yeah.
And maybe sometimes it's okay to say no. Maybe I don't want to fix them. Maybe I'm in a mental space where I cannot fix someone.
Yeah.
So it's quite, the context is really, it's quite circumstantial.
And the fixer mentality is often there, right? Yeah. It's very much there, like, I want to fix that person. We won't go into that because that's a whole topic in itself.
Yeah,
hey, just to kind of wrap up, because we're coming to our closing, I've really loved this conversation. I think a lot of listeners who are listening in today have just, you know, because again, we don't get to hear men speaking together about dating, about that and without being, you know, ridiculed about it and just having that space. So I think both our female audience and our male audience today are really going to enjoy this conversation. And again, without judgment, we're sitting together having a conversation. So quick answer on this one. I'm going to ask you, of course, what do you think two great green flags and red flags are in dating? But the last question I wanted to end up with, in terms of the men's opinion, is do you feel that the modern world is impacting your dating choices and also your identity as a man?
I think it's trying. It's very level-headed based. If you are not strong in yourself or strong in your your personal view or self opinion, for sure, everywhere you look, there's just content putting you down, or you know, you're predisposed to be a bad person. You're a guy, so you must be a bad person, you know, things like that. So I think there's a lot of negativity if you follow that or you stay in that realm. There's a lot of negativity to push you down as in this modern time as a man, which I don't always see the connection to how people treat me. But you know, when you see it and you're always surrounded by bad news or negative feedback, it does kind of get you down a little bit, and you have to have a really strong sense of self to push through that or sustain through that, and good support group.
Right.
So for sure.
That's really necessary as well, right? Otherwise you might...
No man is an island, right?
No man's an island, exactly.
Yeah.
Otherwise you might become that, what people are enforcing you.
Exactly.
Self-fulfilling prophecy in that perspective.
Exactly.
Interesting. Talal?
Yeah, it's interesting what he mentioned, the strong sense of self. And I truly believe that you need it. It's something that you look for in another person as well. But I think identity can be fluid as well. I think with time we change a lot. I'm not the same person who was 1 year ago.
Of course, it's dynamic.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
So I want it to be changed. It would be boring if it doesn't change. Maybe I'm the modern man who adapts and does things weirdly. Like I want to be incorporated with AI. I want to do things that I could never think of.
AI,
I don't
man.
Mind. Yeah. As long as I have a strong belief system.
Yeah.
And then I don't mind changing around that.
Well, then you make the right choices with your changes, right? If you have that strong belief and sense of self, any new additional information you get, you take the good parts and make yourself
exactly.
better.
Right. It's about all that, like that closed feedback loop.
Yeah.
You always have that feedback. Am I doing the right thing? I didn't do that before. Why did I do it now?
Right.
Why did I react this way?
Yeah.
What happened? As soon as you have that conversation with yourself.
Yeah.
You can be honest.
Okay.
Being self-aware, yeah.
Becoming more self-aware is critical, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to, as in my, you know, my roundup of this podcast today, I'm going to ask both of you, because seeing in the lights of time, one red flag. What is one red flag in dating and one green flag in dating for both of you?
So I don't want to steal yours, the lying, so I'll think of something else. But I think, definitely somebody that's not sort of, that hears one thing and has another action. So if you know your whole I can fix him, I can change your mentality, if you say this is what it is, this is unfortunately, this is one of those things that I'm not going to change, and she tries to change it anyway, red flag, because we've had a discussion, we've been open, we've been honest, and I've told you it's fundamentally something that we can't change. Oh, don't worry, I hear you, and then tries to change it anyway, red flag for sure. Green flag for me, somebody that just supports you, like will give you very honest feedback. I don't want to be surrounded by yes men or yes women.
Yeah.
When you screw up, you've got to be told, hey, listen, actually, I think what you did was a little bit sketchy. You should have been nicer. You should have could maybe handled it differently. Did you prepare properly? You need someone to call you out. Otherwise, like you said, you're never going to improve. And then I guess one sort of real red flag for me is being rude to people, any people.
Right.
Hate it.
Right.
Hate it. You can treat anyone well. Even if you dislike them, you can say hello, how are you, and goodbye.
You don't have to like where you come from, who you are, exactly.
Nothing, and manners are so ingrained in me as a person from my background that if you can't do that, we're not getting along.
South Africans are really nice. You guys are very nice.
We can be bad too, but I mean, generally we have a conservative background and we have a good manner system and social structure. It's maybe the society's deteriorating a bit now, but we still have a pretty good social structure in terms of what to expect.
Super. Thanks, Warwick and Talal.
Oh, I'm going to ruin your timing. But when it comes to red flags, that's easier, I guess. We always see the negative... lying for sure. I talked about that.
Yeah,
there's something that I want to change about myself, and I change it. I have worked on it a lot, and it's about respecting time. That's for me. Like, for example, if you're late to a date, I would leave.
It's disrespectful.
It changes everything for me.
Khalas, you can say khalas.
Yeah, I can say khalas.
Disrespectful. Absolutely. Timekeeping.
Oh. Like, you cannot even respect me to be on there on time. Yeah. Come on, like, what do I expect? Like,
it can only go downhill from there, right?
Yeah, like, the bar is too low, that's it.
But it's so interesting. I don't want to interrupt you, but, you know, again, it's a cultural difference here because, you know, in Spain, it's like, oh, yeah, you come in, you know, and half an hour later, it's fine.
Mañana.
You know, it's every country, every person has a different perspective, but for you, that is clearly a red flag.
Yeah, and I personally worked on it a lot. I've seen culture change me as well.
Yeah.
So, and I hate it. So that's part of the closed feedback loop. And I respect that about myself, that I try.
Yeah.
And if I see someone who tries, again, it becomes a green flag, right?
Someone
who tries to be on time. Yeah. Someone who's organized.
Fair play.
Someone who's organized, that's a green flag. Man, I like so much discipline that like I feel like I'm a bit chaotic, but I make sure that I get where I went. Yeah, it works. When I see someone who's disciplined, who has like some sort of structure, it's so hot. Really? How can you do that? Like, maybe if I bring them into
my
life.
Show me that calendar. Yeah. Show me that
calendar. Please. I want to catch you. The Pokemon Go. Yeah, I need that in my life.
In for the rest of your
life. Exactly.
11:09.
How does it happen? The voice is
teaching me your ways. Yeah. That's great.
Anyway, guys, I love this conversation today and the vulnerability that you showed, your perspective, your personal opinion. Again, with the red flags and green flags, there's always a certain level of subjectivity. And again, it also reflects what we value from other people. And maybe also other people listening say, yes, I recognize myself in that. But I love this conversation because it was we sitting together and talking about dating. We're talking about, you know, what affects us. How do men feel about the modern dating world? How do we navigate it? You know, and also just for the audience to listen into us. And have a perspective. Not everyone's going to agree.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen in every show. But what was most important today is that we had a very respectful, open, great conversation. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here today. And wish you all the luck and good luck with dating.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Men can behave.
Can.
Yeah.
Of course we can.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. We're done.
Perfect. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
Excellent.
Great.